Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, Carly Corrigal, and I have sandwiched myself between expert guests with a solo episode this week. And this has really been prompted by a lot of questions that have come up at the start of the new year. Now, something that I do with my clients, particularly those that I'm working with inside my main online program, The Reboot, is to help them create a bespoke exercise prescription. And this really looks at all of the things, all of the components that they want to include fitness-wise across their week, and it is tailored to them. But time and time again, questions come up around cardio. And I do think that there is so much chatter out there about cardio, what it is, what it isn't, do we need it, should we be minimizing it in midlife, what about those cortisol spikes? There is so much confusion that I really, really want to clear this up. So I'm hoping that today's little deep dive into the world of cardio is going to leave you feeling much clearer. All right, so let's get cracking, my friends. So what do I think the issue is here? Well, I think the issue is that we are being bombarded with information. I mean, talk about a symptom of midlife, right? But so much of this is saying to us that we need to be strength training. And going back maybe 5-10 years ago, I don't think enough of us were strength training. And I am not saying that strength work is not important. In fact, if you are not strength training already, midlife friends, go and do it, because that is going to give you so many benefits. But I'm not going to chat about them today. But what I think has happened as a result is that cardio, which possibly we did a lot more of in our 20s and 30s, has fallen by the wayside. I did a post on Instagram a while ago, and I described cardio as being like the skinny jeans of the fitness world for midlife women. And I still stand by this. I think we have forgotten about the benefits. So I kind of want to bring them back to life for you and hopefully give you a way of incorporating some cardio work that's going to be right for your body when you're over 40 and that you can easily fit into your week. Because the last thing I want to do, oh my days, is to give you something else that you're like, thanks, Carly, gee, thanks. Now I've got to go and fit this into my week and I don't have bloody time. So we are not going there, people, all right? We're tweaking what we're already doing as ever, because it's got to work with your life. All right, so what is cardio work and what isn't it? Well, I think possibly the problem here is that we're using the term cardio. I think a much better label for this type of training is energy system training. And I think if you think of it as energy system training, you're going to be able to differentiate what it is, what it isn't, and why you're doing it much more readily, okay? So cardio comes from this cardiovascular system, which of course is your heart and all of your vessels, okay, around your body. But it's so much more than that. And it isn't just about elevating heart rate, all right? I think probably the most succinct way of putting it is any activity which involves the movement of your large muscles in a sustained and rhythmic way for a prolonged period, okay? So we've got a few different components here. Movement of large muscles, sustained and rhythmic, and prolonged period. So what do you think of when this comes to mind? Okay, things like running, things like swimming, things like cycling, but also, you know, we've got other stuff like the Stairmaster or just climbing upstairs. Okay, dancing is cardio. Okay, it could be brisk walking if that's getting your heart rate up high enough, and we'll come on to intensity in a bit. It could be something like doing the battle ropes at the gym. It could be skipping. Okay, it could be rowing. There are so many different things. And I think where some of the confusion creeps in is that people think just because they're getting their heart rate up that they are cardio. And so much of this confusion stems around the idea of working out in zones. And I am going to come on to that because that's something I'm asked about a lot. But there is some overlap if you're doing kind of resistance work with weights, but it's not just about getting your heart rate into a certain zone. Cardio is really your ability to get the oxygen out of the air, okay, and to use it to power your working muscles and also to convert your carbs or your fats into fuel. So it's kind of your energy systems that you're training here. And that's how we do it. Okay, so it is separate to strength training. There might be some sort of crossover, particularly if you're doing something like HIIT with a lot of body weight strength in there. But hopefully that gives you a better insight into what it is and what it isn't, all right? And it's really, really crucial because, my friends, I really want you to think about this more in terms of your health span and your lifespan. And unfortunately, and I think I can see myself in this, so this is absolutely no criticism of anybody, but we can be really short-termist, even as sensible midlife women who've been there, seen it, done it. And even though we sometimes pay lip service to wanting to lead this long, healthy life, you know, I talk about wanting to be bounding up the stairs when I'm 80, great goals, right? But actually, we're all quite vain. I hate to say it. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But aesthetic wise, you know, when you're told that, oh, if you do these squats and you do these deadlifts and you do these presses, you're going to get shapely muscles, it's really bloody appealing, right? Whereas if I tell you that this is going to help your heart, you're like, yeah, 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 cool. But it's really hard to jump forward in time and to see yourself in 20 years from now and look at what your health might look like. So this is really about the health benefits. Cardio training is really for keeping you healthy long term, but that is so important. And you know this, right? You do know this. But I think this is why it sometimes gets sort of pushed to one side a little bit. And I think also part of that issue is that in the past, we've been told about cardio being a really good tool for keeping our weight under control, all right? And that's a real issue. I'm going to come back to the health benefits in a minute, but just before we move on from this aesthetic point. So I hate to break it to you, and I feel like I am like giving away PT secrets here, but exercise is a really poor weight management tool. It's really, really poor for helping you lose weight. Okay, because what will happen, okay, as you increase your activity level is your metabolism will just adjust to match that. So what we seem to see from the evidence is that if we are ramping up the calories that we're burning, our bodies are just slowing our metabolism, slowing the processes in the background so that we can maintain our weight. Your body will always want to keep you at a kind of set point weight. So it will, of course, exercise helps, but I really want you to think of exercise in terms of your long-term health, especially cardiovascular exercise, rather than as a weight management tool, because it's just not that. And you've been sold a dud, I'm afraid, in that regard, by the weight loss industry, by the fitness industry for many, many years. It just doesn't really do that job, okay? So why is it so important in the long term, right? Well, what happens is in midlife, we lose some of our reproductive hormones, in particular estrogen. And estrogen, we know, has a really protective effect on the heart. It helps keep your blood vessels healthy and helps keep your levels of the bad cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, under control. Okay. And we can see that postmenopause, so when estrogen drops off, when you've stopped having periods, usually we end up having a higher cholesterol level, particularly the LDL, the low density lipoprotein, which is the not so good cholesterol. We get this visceral fat, which pads your internal organs. That is the stuff we really want to avoid, okay? We get increased fat around the heart. We get higher blood pressure. We can become a bit insulin resistant. So this is a problem if taken to the extreme, because it can lead to the development of type 2 diabetes. And also our sleep goes down the swanee a little bit. So all of these factors, which are all driven by our sex hormones dropping off, mean that we are at an increased risk of developing things like coronary heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, and vascular dementia, which is the second most common type of dementia after Alzheimer's. So this is a real problem, all right? And when I was researching for this episode, I had an inkling about this stat, but I needed to firm it up, and I was looking at the British Heart Foundation. And indeed, coronary heart disease kills twice as many women each year in the UK as breast cancer. But do we hear about it in the same way? No, we bloody don't, right? So all of these things, of course, that's multifaceted. I'm not giving you a magic bullet here and saying you just need to go run around the block a few times a week and you're never going to get any of these things happen to you. But this is such a big tool in your armory against these things, okay? Coupled with diet, coupled with stress reduction. But if you're not doing your cardio and you're worried about these things, which frankly, I think we should not be worried, but we should all be bearing them in mind as we want to live these long, healthy lives, independent lives, right? I really think we need to bear this in mind. Okay, so we've looked at why, we've looked at what it is. I want to talk to you about zones now, because this is where I think a lot of the problem has stemmed from. Now, if you are on any sort of social media or you listen to other podcasts, you might have come across this concept of different zones of cardio. And essentially, they are fictional brackets that show you the intensity at which you are exercising. Okay. Now, I have seen all kinds of things on the internet and I have all kinds of questions from people around this. So a lot of what people are saying is that as women in midlife, we want to be doing zone two, which is your very easy, almost like a brisk walk level of cardiovascular exercise, all right? And this is because it stops our cortisol spiking, it's working our heart muscle, and it's the best thing for us, because if we're doing high intensity training, it's really, really bad. My friends, it's bloody wrong. Okay, I'm going to call it out. That's just not true. So zone two training isn't, I said it was a fiction. That's unfair, actually. Of course, there you could divide up the intensity at which you're working into lots of different zones. That's fine. But first and foremost, that is going to look so bloody different for every single one of us, because we've all got a different maximum heart rate. We're all at different levels of fitness. And when you're quite unfit at the start of this, your heart rate is going to go up quite quickly because it's untrained, okay? Or alternatively, it's not really going to respond at all because your body doesn't really know the adaptation that it needs to make. So that's the first thing. The zones are all kind of fictional anyway. The second thing is that actually, how are you tracking this? I have women weekly message me saying, I can't train in zone two. I've been looking at my heart rate and it's saying I'm in zone three or zone four all the time. Or alternatively, and I'm going to come on to the higher intensity stuff in a minute, it's saying that I am not reaching zone five. Why am I not reaching zone five? And every time I'm like, how are you tracking this? Are you using your wrist heart rate monitor in your watch, in your Apple Watch, in your Garmin? Other watches are available. How are you tracking it? Because what we're not told when we're sold these devices is that they are such a crude measurement of your heart rate, okay? Firstly, for women, because we tend to have smaller wrists, it's harder for the heart rate to be tracked through these devices because we're not getting that contact between the sensor on the back of your watch and your wrist, okay? Secondly, also often linked to being women, our blood vessels are smaller. So those tiny little impulses it's trying to pick up through the surface of your skin are often not picked up at all. So I must admit, I'm very prone to things like very cold hands, very cold feet. I'm rubbish with blood tests. No one can ever get blood out on a blood test for me. And so I know my blood vessels are quite small. And as a consequence, my heart rate very rarely gets picked up accurately by my watch. And if I was literally basing my training on what my watch said, it would be all over the shop. So if you are bothered about this, if you really want to get a sense of how hard you're working, there's two things. If you're desperate to do it and see objectively, because some of you love the stats, you love the data, then you need a heart rate chest strap monitor to do this, okay? They're quite inexpensive and they normally link back to your watch. Okay, really quick, simple, easy way of doing this. But what I would advise you to do is to tune into your body. Now, you're like, oh God, here we go again. If you listen to this for a while, you're like, she's telling me to tune in again. Yes, I bloody am, because this is the key, all right? What your heart rate monitor won't tell you is the effect that, for example, you having had a crap night's sleep might have on your heart rate, or you being really stressed with work, or perhaps you're a bit dehydrated, or it's the time of the month, or you're going through a little low patch in your perimenopause journey. Okay, all of these things will affect your ability to get a heart rate measurement within a certain zone. It's so nuanced. We're not in a lab condition here. You know, we're not measuring for these variables. So you need to tune in to how your body is feeling. So if you want to be doing easy breezy cardio, which I highly recommend because it's great, not only for your heart and for building up that aerobic endurance, okay, and training that part of your energy system, but also because it's the headspace work. It's like your happy place, okay? I would really recommend that you do that, but I want you to be able to chat through it. I want you to be able to feel like you could go on indefinitely. It needs to be that level of easy, okay? It's more than a brisk walk for most of us, unless you're going up massive hills or you are just starting out on your fitness journey, which I know most of you won't be. So it could be a very slow jog, okay? Or it could be a little gentle cycle, okay? That is your easy bit. And for many people who want to start running, running is not going to be that nice, easy breezy, lower intensity exercise. And that is just a fact of life. You will get there, but it's humbling. So please don't go in and think, well, I'm running really slowly and yet I'm not in zone two. That's not a cause for panic, okay? Most of us won't be. Just chill. And you might need to get your zone two kicks somewhere else, all right? And that, my friend, is totally cool. Okay, but what about the high intensity stuff? So I've told you to stop tracking your heart rate and stop worrying about really staying within a low zone. But the other aspect of this is that we do need that harder work. And this, my friends, is where my zone of genius comes in, because I do love a little bit of the hard work. We want a mix. I was explaining it to someone the other day, as we want some light and shade in our cardio. So we're training that energy system, but in different ways, and it needs to be able to handle intensity. Okay, so what does that intensity look like and why do we need it? First thing I'm going to say is, to back to my original point about lots of women contacting me, particularly when I do posts on Instagram around HIIT saying, oh, I didn't realize we were allowed to do HIIT. I'm like, oh my God, HIIT is one of the best things in your armory, okay, to really supercharge your health in the long term. And there's lots of other benefits, but I just want to focus on this energy system, heart health benefit for today, okay? So HIIT is one example of how you're taking a very short, sharp burst of discomfort and using it in your training. And that's all it is, all right? It could look like intervals when you're on a bike or when you're out for a run. It could look like, yeah, some plyometric work, some jumping, a few rounds of jumping jacks at the end of your sort of strength class. It could look like anything, but we're essentially taking your body out of its comfort zone for a very short period. And it also has a really nice side effect. And for those of you that have maybe investigated things like cold plunges for their effect on your brain chemistry and getting you to feel good, this does the same thing. Okay, I hate cold plunges, full disclosure. I am so rubbish with cold again. We're coming back to my small blood vessels. I can't get warm again afterwards. And it's the same principle, we think, that it acts on. So you're putting your body into this discomfort for a short period of time, and then the rebound effect is what makes you feel great afterwards. You get that lovely rush of dopamine and serotonin afterwards, which picks you up, okay? So that's what I'm talking about, these little short, sharp blasts. I'm not talking about going out and running a really hard 5K. I'm not talking about going out and doing that. So like 20 minutes, really, really hard effort, full on for that whole 20 minutes. It's the little bursts that we're doing here. And it's not going to keep your cortisol elevated, which is what we want to avoid. So cortisol. I have talked about cortisol on the pod before, but just a quick recap, it is one of our stress hormones. And because of the drop off in our reproductive hormones in midlife, we lose the buffer to cortisol. And cortisol is a problem for us for several reasons, because firstly, it makes you bloody knackered. So it can really lead you to feel that tired but wired feeling when you know you're shattered, but you just cannot bloody switch off. I mean, find me a midlife woman that has not felt that way. Okay. The other things that cortisol can do is it can lead to storage of fat around your abdomen, around your belly. Lots of us are dealing with that naturally anyway. Cortisol is one factor that feeds into it, because there are cortisol receptors in that deep belly fat. So it's kind of a cycle that gets created here. Okay, it can affect your insulin resistance. So it means extra storage of fat because your body's trying to protect itself from an elevated blood sugar. It's just not fun. It makes you feel rubbish. Now, what HIIT doesn't do, which you may have been told that it does, is give you a dangerous burst of cortisol. Cortisol is not a bad thing, okay? Cortisol is what gets you out of bed in the morning. It is a natural stress response. Please don't fear it. What we don't want is chronically elevated cortisol, where it is going up really high and it's staying high. What is going to do that is lots of this middle intensity cardio and other fitness work, okay, which is sort of hard, sort of easy, you're not really pushing yourself, okay, that is going to give you the elevated cortisol, which is why I don't want you doing it as much. A little bit's fine, don't stress over it, but please, when we're talking about high intensity, what's going to happen is you're going to get that peak in cortisol and then it's going to drop back down the other side of that peak. Okay, and over time, it's making your body more stress resilient in the same way as those cold water plunges, right? Same mechanism. So this is why intensity is your friend. Now, don't expect to enjoy it. I get messages from women saying, oh, I would do your HIIT classes, but I don't really enjoy HIIT. I'm like, neither do I. Again, should I be confessing to this? No, I don't. Genuinely, the buzz that you get afterwards is fantastic, but it is bloody hard work. It's the fabulous Dr. Stacey Sims, who is like the leading women's exercise physiologist, highly recommend you go and check out her work because she's done lots of studies on this. So she refers to HIIT as being strong medicine. You don't need much of it. It doesn't taste very nice. Think of those hideous cough mixtures and various concoctions you might have taken as a child, but it does you the power of good. Okay, so think of it that way. All right, I'm laughing as I say this. I do genuinely like teaching here, I promise, but it's not the most pleasurable thing. It's not like going to a lovely relaxing yin yoga class, or you know, even doing your strength work where you're there and you're pumping out those reps thinking, yes, I feel strong, I feel powerful. It's humbling, it's really hard, but it's supposed to be. And I would really encourage you to just dive into that. It's, you know, my HIIT classes are 30 minutes, including your warm up and your cool down. Bish, bash, bosh. You need to do it like twice a week, really, for maximum benefits. You might only need one session a week, right? Just get it done, friends. Honestly, the benefits to your long-term health are so many and varied. You will not regret it, all right? And you can just add that into the end of your workout. If you don't want to do a full class, just add in some jump squats at the end of your run as a little interval. Or, you know, when you've done your strength work, what about some jumping jacks or some little runs on the spot, or hop on an assault bike and do a few reps there? Like, literally, you've just got to get that little bit of intensity up. So how hard do we want to be working, having said that I'm banning you from using your wrist-based heart rate monitors? Well, in this situation, I say this in my classes, but I want you to only be able to throw out the odd swear word at me. I want you working that hard that, you know, and I say this when anyone comes to my classes, but basically, even if you come along live, you will have your cameras and your mics off, so I can't hit you anyway. But I literally want you going, bloody hell, Corrigal, and that's it. I don't want you to be able to say any more than that, okay? If you can sing happy birthday to yourself and the words are coming out, you are not working hard enough, all right? And then you are in that middle zone that I talked about, that we want to really avoid too much time in there, okay? I want you working hard. The odd swear word. Use my swear word test if you must, all right? But you will enjoy it afterwards. Even though you are swearing when you're doing it, you're going to feel all the smug afterwards. Okay, my friends. So what about if you find it really shattering? And I do get women say, I'd love to get back into running, or I'd love to do this HIIT that you're talking about, but I always find I'm so shattered afterwards, I can't do anything, I'm fit for nothing. And I often think if you're in that scenario, you're blaming the wrong thing. And I say this with love, right? Usually, and I don't get the luxury of this when I'm just answering DMs on my Instagram, but if I'm working with somebody for a period of time, maybe they're in my reboot and they're telling me this, there's two culprits usually to blame. Number one is that you are in that mid zone. You're not working hard enough, or you're not making it easy enough. You haven't got the light and shade, because as we've talked about before, your cortisol is then going to be elevated and it's going to stay high and you're going to feel shattered. Okay, so usually it could be that. Okay, it's an intensity issue. The second thing, and this is often more common because people are like, but I am working hard enough. I'm like, no, I'm sure you are. Like, seriously, it's that you're not recovering properly and you're not fueling properly. So maybe that's two and three. But because of this ingrained feeling about cardio, what it is, what it isn't, this idea that we are burning off calories or we are earning something for later, and you'd be surprised if you think that you say this, just a little side note, I'd like you to notice this over the next week, whether you have those thoughts, oh, I've earned this, or, oh, I'm going to have a pudding later, so I need to do this now. Think about it, because this diet culture, and don't get me started on diet culture, friends, but this is diet culture at play here, and we want to try and get away from that as much as we can. But because of that, women are so prone to not fueling their workouts properly. You need to be eating well around your exercise, okay? For most of us, exercising fasted, not eating first, is a big no-no, all right? We need to be eating afterwards, okay, as well. We need to make sure that we're getting enough fuel. We also need to factor in recovery. My friends, we can't wang out these sessions 5, 6, 7 days a week back to back. No, no. When I'm talking about HIIT or those high intensity intervals, once or twice a week, seriously, you don't need more than that in your life anymore, and you're going to be burnt out. I have women come to me and say, oh, I've been doing HIIT 5 times a week, feel really exhausted. I'm like, honestly, anyone would be exhausted with that. That is just not sustainable. And I know I always get messages saying, but it's fine for me. And I'm like, honestly, you do you. If it works for you, great. But as a general rule of thumb, and this is what the evidence shows us, we need that recovery time. So please don't overdo it. Okay. So if you're really feeling like your current cardio schedule is too much, look at those two things. All right. Look at your intensity and look at your recovery and your fueling. There is just so much I could go into on this. I would love your questions. So if you want to ask me anything about cardio, then my DMs on Instagram are open, and I will pop that in the show notes, but I am at Carly Corrigal on Instagram. I also have, if you are feeling like you really do need to have a look at what you're already doing, I have put together a little guide. It's called my Training Tweak Guide, and this is going to help you figure out what you're doing now and where there might be room for improvement where it comes to intensity. Okay, so I am going to put the link to that in the show notes as well. It's completely free. Just pop your email address in and I will send it over along with some tips to help you. That's about it, my friends. I hope I've set the record straight. Please don't fear cardio. It can be hardio. Sorry. God, that's lame. My kids would cringe so much at me saying that. Oh my God. But seriously, don't fear it. You need it in your life. We must look after our hearts in the long term. We really have to take this seriously, and it doesn't have to take up all your time. And actually, I think if you get into doing a little bit of that low intensity, which is so good for switching off, getting that headspace, and a little bit of that high intensity where you get that super buzzy feeling afterwards, you're going to feel like a new woman. So give it a go. Right, have a cracking rest of your week, and I will see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.